give you a prime example. In 1 John chapter 1, we read in regard to those that are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. In 1 John 1, verses 2, 3, 4, 5, he talks about those in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Now, these are more than just John, more than just an apostle. These are people in general, apostles included as well as others, that are being faithful to the Lord. They are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. But then he goes on in 1 John 1, verse 9 to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is it fair to the text there to imply that this confession of our sins to the Lord is done by the alien sinner, the one who's never come into fellowship with the Father and the Son? Not within that context. That context of 1 John 1 deals with people in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And the we of verse 9 is speaking about these people. Now, when they sin, they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. What do? They recognize their sin. If we confess our sins, we're faithful and just to forgive us. He's faithful and just. He is faithful to us. He didn't leave us because we sinned. He didn't turn his back on us because we have sinned. He wants us to come back to him and do the right thing by him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He's righteous. He's doing the right thing by his love for us. The right thing by God's love is to have that individual confessing his sins. He's already in fellowship with the Father and the Son. He's already a baptized believer in Christ. Now, he's sinned. If he confesses his sins, God is faithful to him. He doesn't turn his back on him. And he's doing right by him. He's doing what he promised. He forgives him of all unrighteousness, all his sin, all his wrongdoings. To apply that to a person who's never come into Christ, a person who's never been a believer or baptized into Christ, is a misuse of the context and a misuse of the teaching of truth. And again, because we love the Lord, we sincerely love him. We want to teach his word. We want to practice his word. And when we look to our own lives and we say, you know, I said the wrong thing here. I did the wrong deed here. I did the actions and activities that were sinful against God here. I need to confess these matters before the Lord. I need to be a person who follows the way of the Lord. He's promised to be faithful and just to forgive me. And let me be that kind of person. That context continues on down in 1 John chapter 2. My little children, he says, these things I write unto you that you sin not. John is writing here with the Holy Spirit saying, my real desire is that you do not get into sin at all. You don't have sins to confess because you're not into those sins. My desire for you is that you do not sin. But when you do sin, and that word if is put in there in this sense of the context meaning if and when. When you do sin, remember we have an advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the go-between, the big word propitiation there, the go-between, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. When we look at that, we see that context, the whole world. Some will say, hey, that applies to everybody in the world. What's the context of it? The context goes back into 1 John chapter 1. The people in fellowship with the Father and the Son. The whole world out here that's in fellowship with the Father and the Son, they have the privilege of using the go-between. And as we confess our wrongs, the Lord is willing to forgive us. I write these things to you, though, that you sin not. But when you do sin, we have an advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the go-between, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. We can tell that to our friends and neighbors round about us to come into Christ, come into fellowship with the Father and the Son, and enjoy this wonderful blessing that every night you can pillow your head in sleep and in rest, that if he should come before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And really know that that is really and true what God wants to do for our lives, because he loves us that way. As we find ourselves as human beings, seeing the motivation of love, we cannot fail to see the hurt on the faces of people that we disappoint. We cannot fail to see that we want their love. And when we want the love that we have for life, it is a blessing for us. Miss Brooke is with us tonight, your grandfather, Brother Harmon. Brother Harmon, down at baseball, used to say the following in Bible class over and over again. And in meetings, I'll reach the meetings of elders and deacons over and over again. He used to say, "Brethren, we do what we really love to do. We will sacrifice, we'll get up early, we'll go late, we'll do whatever we really love to do. We'll be what we love to be." Well, think about that just a moment. How would we love to be remembered? A person who did as little for the Lord as we could do. Today in the bulletin, you'll notice that I had a special white page on page 2. Underneath the particular lesson that was there, the 3 questions that were asked, I had a full white page that was there. It was not for the lack of something to be placed there. It was not for the lack of something to be typed there. It was not for the lack of time to type something there. It was intended for this part of the sermon. Could we write down there the number of times, just using just one? Could we fill up that page with answering yes to the following questions about love? Would I love to be remembered as a faithful person to God? Would I love to be remembered as a dedicated person to the Lord? Would I mark another on that white opening? Would I love to be remembered for a committed person? Would I love to be remembered as a person who sacrificed when it was necessary? Would I love to be remembered as a person that prayed about every situation of challenge that happened in my life and in the world at large? Would I love to be remembered as a person who studied God's Word and who checked out of the library materials and opportunities to do those materials? And at this particular point in the sermon, I wanted to reach in my pocket and bring out a 1974 edition that's here in our library, 1972 edition, A Power for Today. Someone had those years ago. Someone donated them. They're in the library. They're in the library by dozens. There are various topics that are there. Various prayers that are written down. A whole lot of various verses of scripture that are emphasized. This is one of just dozens of little books and booklets that are found in the library. Would I love to be remembered as a person who was studying a subject that... Would I love to be remembered as a person who sought out information about something that I really wasn't informed about very well? Remember that you're checking those particular things along this white of the page. Could you fill up the page with another line down saying, "I'd love to be remembered as a person who's patient. I'd love to be remembered as an individual who cared about others. I'd love to be remembered as a person who committed myself to good things." Let me get over to some other areas. Suppose I am a reader. Suppose I am a teacher. Suppose I am a good student. Would I love to be remembered as a person who was nasty and talking to others? Would I love to be remembered as a person who was a problem to get to know? Would I love for people to think of me after I'm gone as an individual who was a trusted friend, who could be approached, who could be talked with about any particular topic? Would I be an individual who flew mad at the least provocation? Would I be an individual who cared about how they understood that I loved them? In the family, in the neighborhood, in the schools, around the commitment of my workplace, where I shopped and got my groceries and my gas, would I be remembered as a faithful customer, a truthful customer, a helpful customer? But I'll be remembered that though I had somehow or another slipped up and didn't put my money in my pocket that day, that they would hold the bill for me till I got back. And that I would be back to pay that bill. How would I love to be remembered? Because, as Brother Harmon used to remind us, and I believe he told the truth, don't we really do what we really love to do? Don't we really make an appointment and sacrifice what we need to do for what we love to do? Because we know that love is the greatest motivation. Because of that, we want to be people who teach the truth and do right. Because of that, we want to be people who fill up a white page with black ink, just from single lines. Yes, that's what I wish. Yes, that's what I want. Yes, what I love. And I want to do it because I love it. We love each other. We care about each other. We say and we pray about it all the time here. And we talk about it and we seemingly serve in that capacity. But I want it to be as genuine as God wants it to be. And He wants it to be so real for us that He said the following about that love in 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. Though I give my body to be burned and bestow all my goods to feed the poor, it profits me nothing. Love is gentle. Love is kind. Love doesn't look for evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Where there be prophecies, they shall cease. Where there be tongues, they shall fail or cease. But love endures forever. May that be the kind of love we share with one another. May that be the kind of love that we grow in God's will, and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Let's sing this song together as we think about our relationship to the Lord.
As we think about God's great plan for salvation, we find the people saved from sin in Acts chapter 2, repenting and being baptized for the remission of their sins, Acts 2 verse 38. And we find Simon, who drifted away from the Lord, coming back to the Lord, being told to repent and pray that the thought and intent of his heart might be forgiven him, in Acts 8 verse 22. To whatever you need to respond to the way of the Lord, trust that you will do so. This is Robert Rawson with the Crockett Church of Christ. This is November the 3rd, 2013.